Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the special CTIA Fall Edition. It is Absent Enterprise of the Android Central Podcast. I am Phil Nickinson, your host for this very, very late night event on... What day is this, Andrew?
This is day two, right?
Wednesday, yeah, right?
Wednesday.
It's been a weird show. So if you've followed recent events, you know by now that the Samsung event has been postponed. Samsung and Google Ice Cream Sandwich... Nexus, whatever, has been postponed. With me here is Andrew Baca, our writer from New York.
Hello.
And this is your first podcast, isn't it?
This is it.
And you're doing it at like, what, it's like 1 in the morning your
yeah,
time.
Yeah, it's really late here.
So this is how we do it. Not a whole lot to talk about with this show, actually. So we're just going to kind of blaze through it. It's going to be a very quick, abbreviated podcast, and we're not going to do a normal Thursday night one this week because I will be traveling. Although we should say that, what was it, Tuesday, you and I will be at the Motorola / Verizon event in New York City.
So yeah, we'll be up in New York checking out whatever Motorola has to offer.
I'm thinking Droid Razor whatever / new Zoom tablets.
Yeah, fingers crossed, I guess, right?
I hope so, because it's a long way to go for nothing. So that's coming up this week. But back to CTIA. Samsung and Google pulled out, so that kind of pulled the wind out of everybody's sails. Not that Samsung wasn't here, because we've seen Samsung, we've seen some Samsung hardware. But, once the Ice Cream Sandwich Nexus thing ended, that all but ended the show. It's not to say that we haven't seen stuff and seen some interesting stuff, but this is the first show I've been to that didn't have one big thing to talk about. So we're going to talk about a bunch of little stuff, right?
Yeah, there certainly wasn't anything huge standing out at the events of the past couple of days, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. We had some small things to look at and to look at really closely. So
Okay, it's your first show. You've been here for 2 days now. What is the best thing, the coolest thing that you've gotten to play with?
What I've gotten to play with, not so much hardware, but I guess software-based. I mean, we saw a lot of enterprise ready software from Verizon. Mm-hmm. We saw some software that's going into some GM cars. So
what's the best? What's the coolest? Andrew's cheating. He's looking on my screen here at the notes.
What's
the coolest thing you saw?
The coolest thing I saw, I guess was the GM stuff that we saw this week.
So Tuesday we went to a little warehouse, actually right around the corner from our hotel here. So if you remember, I went up to Detroit a couple years ago and saw a couple months ago and saw the Chevy Milink stuff that your phone connects to the car via Bluetooth, and then it can actually talk back and forth with your phone in the car, and the car controls the phone and vice versa. And it's really cool. We'll have a link in the notes. You can go see that. So on Tuesday, they released the Cadillac Cue, C-U-E,
yes.
All uppercase letters.
Yes.
Stands for Cadillac User Experience, which I actually think is an awesome name for this thing.
Right.
It's not just a way to connect your phone to the car. It actually almost brings a smartphone / tablet into the car, into the vehicle. So this is specific to Cadillac, and I mean, face it, you and I cannot afford this.
No, far from it. Yeah.
But I think what we're seeing here is really going to be the future of what they call it infotainment,
right?
Which is kind of a lame name, but it makes sense. So it's basically in this Cadillac and in these high end Cadillacs, you're going to have an 8-inch capacitive display.
Right.
It's a display, not like mushy plastic like you get in cars. Now, my wife's nav is just awful. Right?
No, it's a real display like we're all used to
right
now.
And it has haptic feedback, so
yes.
You touch it and it vibrates ever so slightly where your finger is.
Right.
You can just barely tell. And in fact, if I didn't tell you it was going to do it, you might not notice.
No.
It will connect to your phone in the same way that the MyLink does. Basically, you do it in Bluetooth, and it has Pandora, so it will interact with the Pandora app on your phone. And that's where you and I come in,
right?
As far as Android goes.
Right.
It'll work with, iPhone and BlackBerry as well, as long as BlackBerry actually works. What else? Oh, my favorite part actually was, and this is a Cadillac thing and not an Android thing, but how the tachometer and the speedo are actually all digital.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And customizable, so you have
right.
like four different themes you can do, and that was pretty badass.
Yeah, I think GM is really reaching out to a lot of different areas of technology right now,
mm-hmm.
especially Android, and especially app-based technology. looking to expand and looking to grow in the coming years. So I think this is really the first step in building their infotainment system in their cars.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, it's kind of an extension of what Microsoft has done with the Ford Sync.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, Ford is a GM company, right?
So right.
This is kind of an extension from it. And I think we're really seeing it. It's interesting the way they're building it out. So they're really putting it in the high end first. The one I saw a couple months ago was in the 2013 Chevy Malibu. So right. It's not even out yet. And even then it was in like the high end Malibu. So you might not even get it in the lower trim models. But I think really what you're seeing is kind of the future of what we're going to have in cars in 5, 7, 10 years from now. And in the conversations I've had with the GM people, and that's kind of how they're looking at it as well.
Yeah, I think they're really getting their feelers out and seeing what people want, what people are using, and how to get that into their cars and onto the roads in the coming years. So
go watch the video if you haven't yet, and certainly watch the official video from Cadillac because it's better than what we did, but we did all right. And that's a weird thing for us to kind of talk about because it's not strictly Android. Probably the biggest thing for me at the show was the T-Mobile Springboard.
That's
probably the biggest consumer product that we saw.
Yeah.
So that is the 7-inch honeycomb tablet from Huawei.
Right.
It's not a bad tablet. It reminded me a little bit of the BlackBerry Playbook in that it's rectangular and flat. And, you know, but otherwise it's your same internals that you have anywhere else at this point.
Just right.
Not a whole lot to differentiate. It had a different UI, and we'll have a link in the notes. Again, you can go watch the hands-on video. But, I mean, not a whole lot going on. They say it's going to be, well, here's the weird thing. You and I sat through what is quite possibly the world's most boring
press
event.
It was pretty bad, yeah.
You know, and this was going on while the Samsung Google thing was supposed to be taking place.
Right.
So when that got canceled, we all went to this. Yeah. So it's got a 1.2 gigahertz dual core Qualcomm processor, 5 megapixel camera, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't really act anything like you wouldn't expect from a honeycomb tablet. We don't have pricing yet. And this is what's weird. So they were talking it up as the world's first 7-inch Android 3.2 tablet, which A, isn't correct. Because I've used others.
Right.
Then they said, well, no. It's the world's first affordable Android 3.2 7-inch tablet.
They're really building their marketing on the affordability.
Okay, tablet. Well, let me ask you this. What's the price?
And nobody knows.
Nobody knows. they wouldn't say.
No.
So we're assuming it must be less than the Acer A100?
Well, they said that we'll be impressed.
Yeah, no. And those were the exact words out of their mouths. You will, quote, be impressed.
So whatever that means. That could mean a lot these days.
Jeez, I mean, look, you announced the thing, like, last week they announced it, right?
Yeah.
You show it to us, give us a damn price.
Yeah.
It's a little ridiculous.
Right.
And we still don't know when it's coming either, so.
But the good thing about this is I really like the 7-inch form factor. Mm-hmm. It feels great in the hand.
And you've been using the 8.9 from Samsung.
I've been using the 8.9, and I personally bought a 10.1-inch from Samsung, and I find it a little bit too big. A little bit too cumbersome, so I'm really liking the smaller form factor, and it's a really solid build. It felt really great.
It didn't feel bad, and Huawei is not like a big name brand.
No,
not American, but a company we would normally be buying from. I mean, when you talk tablets, you're talking Samsung, you're talking Motorola, and to a lesser extent now HTC.
Yeah, no, they put a lot of thought into this product.
It felt good.
Yeah, it did. It really did. And I think what's really going to differentiate this product is the price. Mm-hmm. So that's what we
need to see. Well, but you don't know what it is, so.
Right. Exactly. We'll see. We need to stay tuned and see what they have to offer.
And we need to hold them to that.
Yeah.
Don't tell me it's the world's first affordable tablet. And then if it's anything more than $300, then it's just ridiculous.
Right.
It can't be.
No.
What else? We're just looking here at our list. I tell you, we played with the Pantech Pocket today.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I know a lot of people were bashing it in the comments because it looks short and fat, and it is short and fat.
Right.
It's 800 by 600 resolution, or 600 by 800.
Right.
So it's a lot more squares than you're used to, whereas normally you would have a 480 by 800 screen. This one's 600 by 800.
Right.
4 inches in diagonal. So it's short and it's fat. I tell you what, it felt good. It felt solid. It felt light at the same time. It was relatively thin. Nice texture to the back. wasn't the fastest thing in the world.
No, but listen, this is what I like about it. It's not the most powerful thing on the market.
Right.
It's not a Galaxy. It's not a Droid.
No.
It's nothing that's going to blow anything else out of the water. But
and Pantech's not pretending it is either.
No, exactly. It lives up to its name. It says exactly what it is. It's a mid-level device. Mm-hmm. And it's really different. And that's what I like about it. It's not like anything else on the market. It looks different. It feels different. It's going after a different demographic. And, you know, I think that there's something to be said about that, sure.
It's got a really different feel to the UI. The dock at the bottom has been heavily skinned.
Right.
The launcher's been skinned. And actually, it's decent. For a first real effort from Pantech, it's not the first Pantech phone we've seen. We've seen the Breakout a couple weeks ago, maybe like a month or so ago. But for a phone, and really the screen here is the big differentiator, right?
Right.
It is a different form factor, different size, different resolution. And it's not horrible. It's really not.
No, not at all. It looks really good.
You're not going to be playing games on it, but you're not supposed to either.
Right, exactly.
Seriously.
And I think, especially in Pantech's case, a lot of these second and third tier manufacturers mm-hmm. that realize that they can't really compete with the Motorolas and the Samsungs are trying to do something different.
It's not that they can't.
And they don't want to.
Right.
They don't want to.
Their purpose is not to compete on the high end.
They're going after a different audience,
right.
A different demographic, and all the power to them. They're doing a great job at that. So, you know, I'm anxious to see what else they've got up their sleeve.
So that's the first of the five phones that AT&T announced this week. And it's a little weird that AT&T announced five phones and didn't exactly show them all off at a major trade show. Another one that you got to play with, and I played with it briefly, is the Atrix 2.
Right. So the Atrix 2 is great. But if you've got an original generation Atrix,
which is all of like what 5 months old now,
yeah, and I really don't know if it's worth shelling out that $100 to upgrade. You know, it's a great phone. Don't get me wrong; it's got a great processor, a great screen,
4.3-inch QHD, so same high resolution, nice.
Right, Motorola isn't saying if it's a Pentile display, but based on what I saw, it looks a lot better than the Droid 3, mm-hmm. a lot better than the Bionic. So I think they're really working on improving that.
Dual core OMAP, 1 gigahertz processor, gigabyte of RAM,
right.
8 gigs of onboard storage. The other news with this thing this week is that Motorola has announced the brand new laptop dock, whatever they're calling it. They didn't have it here to show us,
no.
But it's been announced. So this is the new one that'll do the webtop stuff. And it's actually compatible with all these devices.
Exactly.
So the Droid Bionic, the Photon, the Atrix 2.
Exactly.
So that's good.
And it's also Motorola saying that you're going to get true 4G speeds on this. So up to 21 megabytes per second.
Yeah, megabits.
Right, exactly.
They're smaller.
So we don't know if that's actually going to be true.
I can pretty much tell you that you might get it in a lab.
Right. But like I said, if you have an original Atrix, I really don't know if this is going to be worth
it. It's odd. The timing is odd of this thing.
Yeah, it's really quick.
We're seeing a lot of that lately.
It's really quick. And if you're looking for a new device on AT&T, if you're looking for a dual-core processor...
You could do worse.
Right, exactly.
Would you use this and you've been playing briefly with I've got the AT&T Galaxy S2 here.
Right.
I mean, which one would you take at this point?
You know, personally...
No, honestly, come on.
Honestly,
pick one.
I really like the Galaxy.
Yeah,
that display is really hard to beat.
It makes a big difference.
Wow.
It really does.
But the Atrix is, you know, a solid device from Motorola, so you can't go wrong.
It's nice. Another big phone we saw come out of this is the Samsung Stratosphere.
Stratosphere, yeah.
Announced this week. And for all intents and purposes, it's your basic Samsung slider at this point.
Right.
It doesn't feel really any different to me than, say, the Transform did on Sprint.
Right.
I think the specs are a little higher than the Transform. It's not quite up to Epic feel for me, for some reason.
No, it's a little behind what Samsung is offering currently.
Right.
You know, the specs are a little bit lagging.
512 of RAM and
right.
1 gigahertz single core
right.
Hummingbird processors. So, I mean, you're going back to Epic speeds at this point.
You know, the display is a Super AMOLED, not a Super AMOLED Plus.
All right, so you know what? That's not going to make that much difference to most people, I think. Unless you see them side by side, it's not a huge deal.
And I was going to say that, you know, walking into the display, it looks really great.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't tell that it wasn't a plus. And if, like Phil said, if you're not holding them side by side, you're not going to be able to tell.
It's your usual Samsung keypad, so the keys are shallow and flat. And
plenty of room.
Have the same travel. Yeah, a lot of room.
Yeah, a lot of room.
So if you really want to slide around Verizon with LTE, and that, exactly. That's the differentiator here.
Yeah, and I think that the main thing is going to be the battery life.
Yeah. In fact, I take it back. This is an Epic 4G on Verizon.
Right.
That's what it is.
And, you know, with any 4G LTE device, it's the battery life that's really the most important factor. So I guess we'll stay tuned and see how this one lives up. But
I'm willing to bet it sucks through battery life
absolutely.
Like anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, it will.
Yeah.
But specs-wise, you know, it ran great. There was no lag. There was no stuttering. It's a solid device.
Yeah, and it looked pretty good, and that was for a phone that had been around a show. So, you know, they can get a little wonky. It's available October 13th, so Thursday, for $150 on contract, and that's not bad at all.
Right. If you've been waiting for a slider device for LTE on Verizon, this is it.
Speaking of Samsung, you played with the Galaxy Player 5.
I did.
The huge one.
I did, for the second time. They first announced this back at their big unveiling.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, in New York, of the 8.9 Galaxy Tab. But the Samsung Galaxy Players are pretty cool. They're really designed to compete with the iPod Touch. But I love the display.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's a very, very big device.
It's a monster phone.
The 5.0
it's not a phone.
Right, the 5.0-inch display is a beast.
I think the big draw on that, and that it's not a selling point, but it's got a huge battery. It's like a 2,000-something milliamp hour battery.
Oh, this battery will last you quite a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not...
That said, it has a larger display, so it's going to be sucking in more...
But it also doesn't have to handle the radios inside. It
sure.
doesn't have to handle that stuff. So I think it's going to last you a long time.
I played with the Galaxy Player 4 while we were there. I haven't even put a video up yet, because I don't know what to say. I mean, it's like a Galaxy whatever... 4-inch with TouchWiz that doesn't have a phone radio.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, exactly like that. So, I mean, really, price here is going to be the issue and where you can pick them up.
Imagine your Galaxy device, your Galaxy smartphone, your Galaxy 1 or 2, and without the radio, that's what this is.
Yeah. What else? The Impulse 4G on AT&T I played with from Huawei. We'll have a link to that, but not a whole lot to say.
Right.
The Samsung Transfix on Cricket. Nice, solid, prepaid, entry-level phone.
Yeah.
The draw there is obviously Cricket's pricing, both on data and initial purchase, because you don't have contracts, which I'm all for. We talked about Cadillac. I saw a little Philips Go Gear Connect prototype, which is a little PMP iPod wannabe thing. What we played with this was so early, I kind of hesitated to even do it, but that's what we do. Anything else? Nothing really of note of the keynote. The CEOs of AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint all spoke. They were not on stage together like they were in March at CTI. Yeah, everybody was surprised.
Yeah.
Like, everybody I talked to thought they were going to be on stage together.
We were hoping for a showdown, but we didn't get it.
And that was unfortunate. They did, you know, mention the AT&T T-Mobile purchase thing. But not a lot to be said about it. I mean, they joked about it. And I think these guys are all, you know, friendly enough in person.
Right.
I think that's it. I mean, really nothing else.
Yeah.
The Samsung Google pullout just killed the wind.
Yeah. I mean, I think this conference was really focused on enterprise.
Well, it is called Enterprise and
Right,
so,
exactly. Yeah. So it lives up to its name. I mean, one of the things I saw today was Verizon's... Mobile to Connect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's trying to get business phones onto your personal phone, trying to sync two worlds into one device.
Sure.
And that's interesting.
And we saw AT&T Toggle this week.
Exactly.
So that is a cool little service that kind of sandboxes your personal side of your phone from the business side and lets your IT department handle that. And that's very cool. And that's an interesting way to do it. So it lets you take, you know, you bought a phone, you want to use your phone at work, and your IT department says, okay, you can now use it. Here's the little button. You push the button and you go secure or something like that.
Right. Instead of carrying around two devices in your pocket, I think they want to be able to consolidate into one device.
Mm-hmm.
that they can sell and that they can combine your business and personal. So all the power to them, I guess.
That was cool. San Diego is a beautiful town.
Awesome.
I've eaten many fish tacos.
Too many fish tacos.
And calamari
perhaps.
Tacos.
Yeah.
No, not too many. I could go get some. In fact, we're going to go get some right now as soon as we finish this.
Yeah, I'm done.
We're going out.
I need a regular taco.
Okay. So that's it, I think. Andrew and I are going to be in New York at this Motorola Verizon thing on Tuesday.
Right.
We're still hoping for some sort of Samsung Google thing. I don't know if it's going to happen. I know there are rumors floating around all over the place, and at this point, I'm pretty well convinced nobody knows what the hell they're talking about.
I mean, it's going to happen eventually, and
maybe. They might just announce it, and that's that, like
right.
they did a year ago
yeah.
with no event. That
right.
could well happen, too. I don't know. The rumors are ridiculous. So
I think it's going to be worth the wait, so that's
I hope
all
so.
That matters.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
So that's it from us from CTIA. I know it's a very short podcast, and we're not going to do a regular podcast again on Thursday night because I'm traveling, but it's been an interesting show, to say the least.
Definitely.
I think, you know, we're not done with stuff. We've got New York next week. We might well have events after that, but nothing big scheduled, so.
I mean, the holidays are coming up, so it's going to be an exciting time.
Yes, no, and we're absolutely not done with phones being released this year.
No, definitely not.
I can guarantee that.
Right. Exciting times ahead.
So, from CTIA, Phil and Andrew, we're done. See you next week. Eventually, somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Good night.
All right, later, guys.